Morning, everybody. How y'all doing? It is a spectacular day outside. Keep your eyes in here, though. Don't be looking out the window. We got things to do here. All right, let's turn to 812, please, and let's stand. 812. Clear in the back of the book.
Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood.
Praise God!
He loved me, and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory. The cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood.
Praise God!
He loved me and I knew him. Of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. At some sweet day, I'll sing up their song. Sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood.
Praise God!
He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day. The opportunity to be here in your house. What a song, Lord. It's all about the victory in Jesus that we can know today. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son for us. That we can have him living inside us, Lord. After we received him as Savior. And then the Holy Spirit indwells us, Lord. And I can feel the Spirit here today, Lord. Be with us, Lord, as we go into your word with pastors, guide and direct. Help him, Lord, to be strong as he gives out your message, Lord, that you've laid in his heart. I pray, Lord, that it touches somebody today. And it'd be all because of you. Help us, Lord. Thank you for our nation we live in, Lord, for the many freedoms that we have, Lord. We know our nation's a mess. Well, we just pray, Lord, that somehow, some way, our leaders might turn to you, Lord, for the answers they need in guiding this nation. Be as we go into your word here shortly, Lord. We're going to sing a little more. I just ask that we do nothing but praise your name today, Lord. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see. 185, please. 185.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thy all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now in need I find thy power, thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it. Stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. Wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Thank you. Let's see. Tonight's our evening service. We have a business meeting, our quarterly business meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. Women's Bible study on the 18th at 6. Check with Sandra on the location there. Personal evangelism is the 11th and 25th. Men's Bible study the 15th and 29th. Wilton Bible study the 13th and 27th. Pastor Erickson is going to be here in John's Place on the 23rd. Bible study Aspiring Nursing Home in Muscatine on the 20th at 2 in the afternoon. Marlon's going to lead that. We have fellowship next month. Something to eat. Pastor's thought, does your exterior accurately display your interior? Guys, you'll come forward. Yes. Usher's meeting right after the morning service today. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, again, we come before you. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day. The anticipation, Lord, of hearing a little more of your word being preached, Lord, I just ask you, just guide and direct John again, Lord. In this time now, Lord, we have the opportunity to give a small portion back to you, Lord. I just pray that we would consider and be cheerfully and gleefully give money back to you, Lord. Be it the gift and giver. In Jesus' name, amen. 811, please. 811. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
Thank you. Autumn, your turn.
To show a simple song here. This is called The Goodness of God. You may have heard it on the radio. It's a newer song. And it really is just about a person's personal relationship with God and His goodness, and that His goodness is always running after us. It's just a beautiful relationship between the saved and the Father in heaven. And as I sing, please pray for me not to cry. It is so hard for me to sing these songs that are so truthful about what we experience in Christ. And the emotions can sometimes well up. So if I have to end it in tears, that's just the way it is. But we'll try to. This is not even for any of you. It's for God. Really, I'm right before His altar singing this to Him. But that's pretty powerful, right? So let's give the glory to Him today, and I hope this blesses your heart as you think about His goodness to you. Faithful. the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now, I give you. Is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now, I give you. It's good.
Praise God. You know what? That's such an important thing.
But just sit back today and let God's goodness come upon you. Because that's one of his over 40 attributes. He is good. It's we that resist him and resist his goodness. So I encourage you to just bask in him today and observe what a good God he is. He loves all of us very dearly. Yes, young folks can go down for children's church. The rest of you are stuck with me if you want to be. But no one's forced. The doors are not barred. But anyway, it's good to be with you today, and I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Jason, are we turned on okay? I think so. It is a wonderful day. Summer's upon us. A lot of people are going a lot of different directions, but we're glad for everyone that's here today. And no one is here by accident today. God has a reason, and it could be that the things that have been done here and that will be spoken and so forth will be effective in your life today. That's my prayer, but I welcome every one of you. We're glad for anyone that's visiting today. Everyone is always welcome here at Fruitland. We're always going to teach the Word of God, and we're not here as a social club or here to just go through the motions, but for the effective teaching and preaching that the Holy Spirit can use that in people's lives today. But it's good to see everyone out today. This is a time of worship, and obviously our hearts need to be directed toward giving God all the praise and accolades that He deserves. And He deserves everything we can give Him and more. So today we're going to begin with just a few moments of silent prayer where we can all individually come to Him and let Him know that He is worthy, and that you, again, acknowledge Him today and acknowledge what He's done for us and His love for us. And then I'll have a short pastoral prayer, but the title of our message today is Doing It the Right Way is the Right Way. And so the foundation of the teaching today is going to be found in Proverbs chapter 16. If you'd be visiting today and don't have a Bible, we'd be glad to get one into your hands. I know the ushers would do that if you like to follow along in the text. And I'm a big believer in this. You need to always be watching out for the person that's preaching the Word of God. Make sure they stay on track and that they're online, because every one of us are responsible for God's Word to be proclaimed accurately. And so hold me accountable, but I also want to offer to you as well that the book will keep us all accountable. And so, again, I greet you in the love of Christ this morning. It's good to see a nice group out today. So let's go to silent prayer for just a few moments and adjust our hearts, and then we'll go into a short pastoral prayer, and then into the Word of God today for what God would have for us. So shall we pray together? O God, our Father, we come today humbly before your throne of grace and mercy. We thank you that yet today, Lord, your grace is apparent, your love is available to us, your fellowship and compassion in our lives is ever present if we'll accept it. And Lord, we thank you today for your goodness. We praise you about that, that it's been manifested to every soul, to every person who will receive it. Lord, we acknowledge today you don't force anything on anyone, but Lord, you compel us and you invite us to come into a personal walk with you by faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father God, we thank you that you gave us your Son, that you allowed him to be bruised for our iniquities, to be put to death for our sin on Calvary's cross, and then to rise the third day with victory over sin, death, and of Satan, Lord. We are no longer bound by the power, but we have been given the victory, as we sung this morning, if we'll receive it. So I pray today, Lord, that you'll work in our hearts, but we want to let you know you are a great God, and you are a good God, and an awesome God. Lord, today, focus our hearts on the Word. May the Spirit be active, Lord, as we study and look into the mirror of the Word of God. Lord, we live in an evil day. And Father, we as Christians need to do what is right. We need to always do what's right because it's the right thing. It's what you would want us to do. And so I pray, Lord, you'd help us to stand firm in this day to do the right things as you would have them done. Now, Lord, as always, we miss people today. Some are on vacation, some are traveling, some may be ill. Lord, there's all kinds of things that are going on in the human experience. There could have been a fight in a home this morning, Lord. Children that were upset. Or husband and wife, Lord, that disagreed today, or all kinds of things, Lord, people that are ill, depressed, Lord, struggling, grieving, all kinds of things that affect the human condition. Lord, I pray today that you will speak to the hearts of the people, whether they be here or not here today, and Lord, that you'll draw them closer to yourself. Lord, we pray for our community around us. We know, Lord, we have a large mission field right here in the Fruitland area. And we thank you, Lord, for the outreach yesterday in the park. And we thank you, Lord, that your message and your love is present here at Fruitland for the community around us. So we pray, Lord, for family and friends, for our fellow citizens, even for our enemies today, Lord, that your word would prevail and that the hearts would be pliable and softened, Lord, for us to speak. Now, Lord, it's my responsibility and privilege to preach the word this morning. But you know all about me, Lord, and many people in this room know about me too, that I'm frail and faulty and weak, and I'm a sinner saved by grace, but Lord, only through the power of the Spirit, and again, His bearing me along, may this be effective. Now, Lord, I pray today we'd be filled with the Spirit, but also convicted, Lord, if there's that need in our lives, that we would not leave here the same as we came, Lord. And so I leave that in your territory for today, and I just thank you for this privilege now. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, if you would need a Bible today, we'd be glad to put one in your hands. And we give a lot of things away here at Fruitland. There's always Bibles. You know, we've had a long history of at Fruitland of operating by faith. We don't ask people for anything. God takes care of our needs. That's the goodness of God and His mighty ways that He operates. So come here today and realize that God has a great love for you, and you are not obligated to one thing here today, but just to take the love of God with you and the message that He brings us from Scripture. So today, our primary text will be found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. But before that, I'm going to have one little deviation before we get to that. But when we think about the book of Proverbs, and I preach on it occasionally, but hopefully it's something that's in our hands daily. Some of you might know how many chapters are in the book of Proverbs. 31 chapters. Let's see, Wilton Mathematics. Most months have either what? 30 or 31 days, okay? And February, how many? 28 or 29 if it was leap year, and we're in leap year this year, right? Where we were, correct? Sometimes that can make a big difference, too, like when you're being paid on a weekly basis. You enjoy those months when there's an extra week of... You understand what I mean by that. But bottom line, the book of Proverbs would be a good thing to have before our eyes every day. And a chapter of it will be profitable for us. And it never hurts to read the Scriptures over and over. What I found in my life, and I know many of you would agree with this, is the more you study the Scriptures, the more you find. Every time, maybe you've studied a passage 50 times, but God will bring something new out of that passage. His Word is powerful, by the way. Dynamite, the Bible says. Dunamis in the Greek. And it will have an effect on us today. By the way, as I've said many times, there is no neutral in God's gearbox, in Jesus' gearbox. You're either here today for Jesus or against Him. There's no middle ground. But if you're seeking Him today, He can be found. And He is near to those that will call upon Him today. So that's something that gets me excited. Anyway, friends in Christ, and I hope you are all my friends here. And by the way, Jeff, I just have to say it's so good to see you here and your lady friend today. Jeff listens to my preaching out at the farm. He helps the boys some. But now he's going to hear a different version, but hopefully it's the same person. Faldy John. I'll never forget the day that Kim and I started to drive the old Buick. And I told Jeff, you need to have more respect now. We're driving a Buick. And I did get him laughing that day. But we're glad you're here, Jeff. It's a great thing. But friends in Christ, people today, including many Christians, sorely need a turn toward righteousness and reality. Let me expound on that for just a minute. I want to tell us today, this is Christian and non-Christian. Okay? Many of us, at the behest of Satan and his demonic doctrines, have brought destruction, by the way, three D's there if you want to alliterate a message, of all kinds to the doorstep. There's your fourth D. We all struggle with sin, right? Yeah, I'm not the only one here that does, I'm sure. But friends, never in my life have I seen so much corrupt and unrighteous activity promoted, endorsed, and plotted openly in all facets of society as I see today. Am I the only one? Politics, government, business, personal lives, study, promote, explore, and gravitate toward doing things wrong and getting away with it. Am I right on that today? Or am I the only one that sees that? But let me assure us one thing, folks, before we get into the main preaching here today. The God of the Bible has not changed and will not be changing. Amen. And he and His ways are righteous and they are right. Before we go to Proverbs 16, go to the little epistle of 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. 1 John, clear in the back of your Bible, chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. This is the Apostle John writing this in his third short epistle, or actually this would be his second epistle of four. John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Okay? Anyway, here's what he says. Little children, he's talking to us here today. By the way, God views us as children. Okay? Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. God says to do the right thing, to do the righteous thing, is the right thing to do because God is the right thing. Never forget that. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was made known or manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Folks, Satan does not cause us to sin. We sin, but he does tempt us. Okay? He makes it attractive to us. But what John is telling us here is what? We need to be careful of the deception that lies there, that Satan uses us. But know this, that Jesus came to help us, and that the works of the devil have been brought under control, and he is going to be destroyed, and his works with that. God does not want us to be destroyed. But God, through his help, can give us victory to, again, live a righteous life before God, to do the right things. And I think, friends, this is so important today, as it always has been. And here it is. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, we know that what John's talking about here is habitually. In other words, what I'm saying is we all are struggling with sin. We always will, because we live in the flesh. But God wants to see us have victory over sin. Folks, he wants us to have that higher walk with him. It's like what Autumn sang about this morning. He wants us to experience the good stuff. And so what I'm telling us today is we need to get out of the muck and the mire of sin that we dabble with, put Satan in the mud hole, and let's go on to victory with the Lord and enjoy the good things. Because you'll always feel better when you're out of the mud hole than when you're walking around in the slop. Now, we all know enough about hogs. Hogs love mud. You know why they like that? Because hogs can't sweat. They have to be cooled by contact. That's why on a hot summer day, hogs will lay in the mud, because that's how they lose their heat. It's dissipated into the soil. But let me assure you this, folks, if we wallow in the mud, we'll never come clean. And God wants us to come clean to enjoy the things that he has in store for us ahead when we'll walk with him, right? Amen. So whosoever is born of God does not habitually want to serve sin. That's what John's telling us here. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, and I'll add to that, without conviction of the Holy Spirit, unless we've quenched the Spirit, because he is born of God. And folks, that's the thing to remember. God is not in favor of us continuing in our sin or increasing in it. He paid the price through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would we want to put him afresh on that cross every time we disregard what he does? But I'm sorry, Lord, but we do, right? It's the way it is. Until we're apart from this old world, we're going to struggle. But my friends, God wants us to do it the right way. All right, now let's go back to Proverbs 16. I got a few more things here to give you because I want you to get your money's worth today. And I wouldn't want you to leave. Again, in all the years I've been here, there's still not been a trapdoor placed behind the pulpit. But I've heard that, you know, in some churches they have a trapdoor and they assign someone in the back. When the preaching gets too long, the door opens, whoosh, the service is over. But anyway, we'll keep it on time here today like we always do, folks. But let me add to what I just said. Christians, we need to live for the Lord, and that means we need to do and stand for right or righteous ways. Lesser of evils is still evil. I'm hearing that too much lately, folks. Lesser of evils is still evil. That's the thing we all need to discern for ourselves today. Should a Christian ever endorse evil? I'm going to tell you what I think the Bible says. It says we should not. So, I leave that for you to think about today. But it's still not a choice for me, in my opinion. This morning, the words of King Solomon. By the way, why should we perk up when we hear about him? He was a guy that's been there and done that. 700 wives, 300 concubines. But the Bible also says he's the wisest man that ever lived. Well, I'll tell you what, if he was the wisest guy that ever lived, he was pretty, I don't want to use the word, I'll use the word ignorant instead of what I was going to use. But he's a picture of us, and we ought to learn from him because he's been there and done that. Solomon's writing these things as he's gone through some years of life. By the way, years of life will make you what? Just like a good steak, well-aged, well-rounded. If you're living it for the Lord, you'll be better as you get older than you were when you were younger, because you get wiser, okay? But here, we're hearing it from Solomon this morning. And so the point of all this is, like him, and as he wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about living a life and godly, correct, right living, let's do our best to make a difference in this concept in a dark environment by being reflectors of the light of the world and a refreshing difference to the expectations of those around us. Let's be honest, folks. In most of our experiences in life, we expect the worst in the day that we live, don't we? And so it's very refreshing when you deal with someone or have an interaction with someone and so forth when it's opposite. Folks, that's what people are looking at for you and I. They're going to be refreshed when they see us do the right things. It's so attractive, and it's so much in demand, and there's a great thirst for it today. Because every time it seems like we do something, it seems like someone's trying to take you, right? Or they're trying to deal you dirty. You know, we have to be so legalistic about everything, everything in writing. What's wrong with a handshake or when you just say, this is what I'm going to do, and do it? Wouldn't it be less complicated? Oh, I know the lawyers benefit from that. And some of you know, I've told you this before, Kay, if this is a repeat. When I took a college profile test 46 or whatever years ago, it said at that time I was supposed to either be an attorney or a pastor. Well, I rebelled against God for years, and I still do monkey with farming a little. But see, there's big demand for attorneys because there's a lot of corruption. But it doesn't have to be. All right, let's get into the Word this morning. First point is found in Proverbs 16, verses 1 through 4 and verse 9. But I'm going to read those really quickly here. Proverbs 16, 1 through 4 and 9. Here's what Solomon wrote. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Here's what he says. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Now, I'm going to come back on this with some comment on this. But folks, if you want to get it right, if you want to do right, the first thing you'll have to do, and I will have to do, is we've got to say, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to commit to doing it the way that He instructs, because He's right. You see, folks, we're all rebellious, aren't we? Can we admit that today? It's the Frank Sinatra doctrine. I did it my way. Right. We want to do it how we think it ought to be done. But if we'll just yield to the Lord and do it the way he says, that's the way that we'll go. If we make a commitment, our heart will follow that, and we, as best as possible, we will do the things the way that God wants. Our thoughts precede our actions. So commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And then verse 4, the Lord hath made all things for himself. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil, it says in the King James, or calamity or doom. God is in control of all things, my friends. He wants to be in control of your life so that how things will end up is the way that He would see it for good. You remember a guy named Joshua? Remember? He said, for me and my house, I don't care what the rest of you are going to do, but I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to serve the Lord. I think it would be great today if we all made that commitment. You know, God's open for business on Sunday. Or maybe a recommitment if you slid away and say, Lord, I want to do it your way. I do believe that that's the right way. It may not be the way that seems right or prosperous to the world, but we know that your ways are always right. I want to do it your way. That would be a great commitment today to make to the Lord. Now, verse 9. Keep me on track here. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And so when you put all this together, if we seek the wisdom of God, our heart will be right and God will direct our steps. It's a very, very basic thing there. Who is in control of your life today? Is it the Lord and His Word, or is it your will and the ways of the world and the ways of the wicked? It's something to think about today, folks. Here's what I wrote because I want you to get your money's worth. About these verses that we just looked at. God has placed the capability to do right in the heart of man. Did you hear me on that? God has placed the capability to do right in the heart of man. Now, we know the Bible says, and we acknowledge it in a minute, we're all sinners. I've done wrong, I do wrong. But God says we can do right. See, this is what I hear from people. Well, I'm just a sinner, I can't get it right. Wrong. Did that fit right? We can get it right. That capability is there for all of us today to get it right. And hear me well on this. It is man's choice how we respond, but God knows our heart's intent. Folks, He knows every one of us here today, whether we're coming clean about things with Him or we're not. You're not going to pull any games on God. He knows it all, forwards and backwards, crosswise, up and down, any direction you point. And folks, I want to tell you on that basis of what those verses I just presented to you, none of us are off the hook. We can do it right. Are we going to fail at times? Yes, but if our intent is to do it right, I believe God will bless that. He'll help us to do it right. We're not off the hook. And so we need to do it His way, commit to Him first, and the rest of it follows. Now, I don't know how I got started talking about hogs today, but I've told you this before as well. If hogs see a crack in the gate, they'll be able to get through that crack. Because they will work until they make it. They'll break the boards or do whatever they have to do, but they will never give up. We can get right in our ways with God or very much closer to it if we what? We'd be just like the hogs, be diligent to keep going and doing it His way. Now, the second thing I'd like to speak about this morning, and I've got to kick this into high gear. This is found in Proverbs 16, verse 5, and then 18 through 19. So let's read the text. Here it's recorded, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord." If we think we're something here today, we're an abomination to the Lord. God calls us, again, to be servants. If He called His Son Jesus to be a servant, why would He put us in a different position? Even though He treats us like children, we are His children when we're adopted into His family. But He wants us to what? He wants us to understand that our pride is an abomination to Him. An abomination is something that God detests. We all struggle with pride, do we not? Pride is the basis of all sin. That's why Satan fell from heaven. It was his pride. He wanted to be like God. And the rest of it comes from the same thing. It's the elevation of man and the devaluation of God. That's what pride really is, and it's dangerous. And this book will address it even further here as we go on. But there it is. "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished." Our pride, here again, if I were to alliterate this with peas, our pride brings punishment. Two peas. Don't ever forget that. Not that we should not have a proper respect for ourselves, but we need to have an accurate respect for ourselves. That's a godly perspective. Not that we're something special. Even though we're special to God, pride, very dangerous. Now let's look at 18 through 19 along with this. Here it is, folks. "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." If pride is where you're at today, you better be watching what you're going to trip over because you're going to take a fall. That simple. And 19, again, Solomon writes, "Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." You know something, folks? I was preaching on Romans chapter 1 at Moscow this morning, and we were talking about that very thing. Paul said he was a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, meaning Paul had a debt with the gospel for people's souls to the very elite, the very intellectual, and to the lowest of the low. Folks, we need to be in a position where we can talk and deal and interact with all kinds of people for Jesus' sake. And if you're going to do that, you better forget your pride. Because I'll tell you what, you're going to stumble if you have pride. But if you're legit with people, you're going to have an effect on them. Because that's what people want to see. They want to see someone who genuinely cares about them. Folks, we got to get real, and we got to do it God's way. So pride brings destruction and punishment. The pride we see endorsed in all kinds of sin should and will bring shame. And I'm going to say it. June is LGBTQ plus Pride Month, and they ought to be ashamed. Whatever pride we harbor in us today, we ought to be ashamed. because it's going to bring our destruction and our downfall. This business of human pride, no, it doesn't work with God. Let that be known today unequivocally. Turn the page, Pastor John. You got a long way to go. Isn't there a song about that? A long way to go. And no, I don't drive a Firebird. Some of you don't even know what we're talking about here today. All right. Several points in this message of the day. Look at verse 6. I'm trying to kind of keep them in order here. Verse 6, Proverbs 16:6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged or taken away. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Do you and I have a healthy respect for God today? That's a good question to ponder. Because I'll tell you what, folks, for any of us, if we're dabbling around in a lot of these things that we're talking about here this morning in unrighteous activities, we better think twice about that. It doesn't mean I cower in fear of God. I don't cower in fear of Him anymore after I've been saved, after I've been born again. Because He understands where He's forgiven me. He's adopted me into His family. But I still have a respect for God. And that's what this verse is talking about. But if you're here apart from the Lord today, you better fear God. Because God is a righteous judge. You will have to be adjudicated properly before God. And for those of us that have been born again in Christ, we've been delivered, we've been saved, Jesus paid that for us. See? And when Jesus looks at my sin, when God looks at my sin, He sees the blood of Jesus that covered it. See? We better get these things straight. Verse 6 there again. By mercy and truth, though, iniquity is purged. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. For me, when I struggle with sin, I don't want to do it anymore because I know that my Savior paid for that. I don't want to drag Him through that again. But today, folks, if you're here apart from the Lord Jesus, understand this. There is a judgment, and there is an accountability for our sin. Okay? It's that simple. So, here it is. The truth of God brings upon reverential respect for God. Okay? And that's what Proverbs writer here is telling us about today. Now, let's go to 7 and 8. When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's powerful stuff, folks. All of us have enemies. And maybe we have been enemies to people as well. But see what that says? When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know, years ago, I may have used this analogy before. There was a mobster out on the East Coast. They called him Teflon Don. Because every time the law tried to prosecute him, he found a way, like Teflon, which, by the way, is now a carcinogen, they found out. So if you have a Teflon skillet, you better get rid of it. I've banned all skillets from my home. What I meant, Jeff, is she might use it on me. See? Nothing sticks, you see. But you know something, folks? When we think about the Lord, when we have reverential respect and fear for Him, a lot of times things don't stick on us either. And He has His way of protecting us. He has His providential way of caring for us and protecting us. So, again, we are at 7 and 8 here. When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Oh, people, we ought to get that figured out today. It's not bad to be poor. It's good to be poor. I'm serious about that. Riches used improperly, again, bring us to further destruction. But sometimes poverty keeps us closer to God. Amen? Hallelujah. And by the way, none of us are poor in this room. And if you have Jesus Christ today, you're a child of the King. You're rich. You're wealthy. What's everyone so down about today? I see a down group. Not really too bad today. There's been days it's been more downer. But we're up there. Jory, I even see a smile on your face. That is an encouragement. Yeah. Anyway, it's about pleasing God, not ourselves. It's about pleasing God, not ourselves. Now, several verses, 16:10, 12 through 15, 21 and 24. Keep me straight on these. Verse 10, I was on the wrong page there for a minute. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. Let me read the rest of these verses before I comment on this. Then 12 through 15. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Verse 13, 14, and 15. Yes, 13. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. And then the wrath of the king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. And then 21 and 24. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. And then the last verse with this comment. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, meat to the sweet to the soul, and health, to the bones. Now, what I'm going to address here, and I think what Solomon's addressing, is leadership. Every one of us in this room is a leader in some category or another. But I'm going to talk about all facets of that under the same blanket. But folks, our leadership, whether it's in your home, in your county government, in your church, whatever it is, national government, the whole works needs to read these verses I just gave. Because all leadership needs to see this. And here's what it comes to. It alludes in that one verse. Sometimes when people speak at all, every word they speak is a lie. Have you ever known anything like that? Have you known politicians, other people? You agree with that this morning? They need to see these verses. And they not need to stop lying every time their lips move. I don't trust our leadership at all today. None of them. And I know God instituted human government. But I'll tell you what, folks, and I know we live in an age of technology. There's more news and more stuff out there than ever. That's why we know it. They've always been crooks. Most of them. But folks, there is a plethora of lying, cheating, crooked dealings that go on in our nation. And we shouldn't endorse it. And we should hold them accountable for it. And we need to hold ourselves accountable to begin with and how we operate. The lying and the stuff needs to stop. The unrighteous, wicked activities of our leadership. And I'll tell you what, folks, that's why we're in the shape we're in America today. We're fed up. I'll get another bruise on my hand for doing that. But I'll tell you something, folks, if the leaders start getting it right, I don't care if it's in the home, in the church, county government, state, right on up the chain, the bosses at work, or wherever you're a leader, and all of us are to an extent or another, when we get it right, people will notice it and they'll do right. I'll guarantee that. It's so important. Leadership needs to get it right. Needs to see this. 16:11. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are His work. You know, you and I know it too. We live in a corrupt day, more so than ever. And there's more crooked dealings and stuff, but what's being talked about here is a very basic thing. And we know that we have, in good things that God's instituted in government, we have a commission here in the state of Iowa and all over. If you go to a gas pump, you'll see a little sticker on that pump. Theoretically, someone from the government, who God places government here for our good and to restrain evil, checks that gas pump to be sure that what you pay for, you get in gallons. At least in theory. Are we agreed on that? But you know, over the years, a lot of people have made money and done corrupt things to gain money. But let me tell you something, folks. It isn't going to pay off in the end. It's like if you sell something over a scales and the scale's crooked. That's what this verse is talking about here. And did you see what God says about that? A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are His work. Folks, when we deal with people, when we trade with people, when we do things, we ought to do the right thing. We ought to have proper, accurate things that we deal with, be above board, and if possible, do better than you might do for others, genuinely from the heart. That's what the Bible teaches. But you and I both know in our world, and the propensity in us even is what? To do something a little bit shady for what? Folks, it's all going to burn anyway. Let's do it God's way. People need to hear this today. Let me just say it this way. Just dealings are ordained of God. Just dealings are ordained of God. 16:11. Why does that number strike a bell with me? I did? Oh, you're right, Lonnie. Sometimes I see things that aren't there and so forth. 16:11, I was thinking the King James Version of the Bible. That's when it was published. Yeah, first. Found in verses 16 now through 21 and 23. So 16:16. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than be chosen than silver. By the way, the wisdom that's talked about here is not what you're going to acquire in college and university, even though there's value to that. What's being talked about here is the wisdom of God. Proverbs 1:7. Take a look at that sometime. Now, what else was I going to read here? 21 through 23. Yes. 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. And then verse 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. And addeth learning to his lips. In other words, we're teaching ourselves, if we're wise, to be careful how we speak, and that we be more ready to what? To learn than to teach. Okay, that's a biblical principle here. So here's the thing we glean from those verses, again, that causes us to understand that the movement toward righteous living is the right way. And that is God's wisdom, where we get the idea of God's righteousness and what he wants for us. It's priceless in its value. And yet here at Fruitland, I see a lot of seats empty. I mentioned several months ago, there's something that's not valuable to people. And it's God. And I'm not criticizing. We're all on a we're being changed and we're being touched by God if we'll allow him to touch us. But folks, that's the big deal here. People don't see God as, they want to be corrupt. They don't see him as valuable. They want to live the corrupt life and still be okay. Folks, it isn't going to work that way. It's not the way God teaches or the way he works. But God's wisdom is priceless in its value. Now, verses 17 through 20. By the way, you can have this every day as you look into the Word. A little bit of the Proverbs. 17 through 20. 17 and 20. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. By the way, why do we call a highway a highway? Is it because it's up on a higher grade? No, it's the way of what? The best opportunity to travel. If you have a choice out in our way to travel on Iset Avenue or Highway 38, you're going to take 38. Absolutely. Right now, Iset's closed because the bridge is out. So if you're thinking of running from the cops, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. And then look at verse 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find, autumn, good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Let me see your smiles today. I have never seen Christians in this day and age more glum and gloomer than what I see them generally. But be happy in the Lord. Be happy in his righteous ways that he's manifested toward us. Let this stuff go. Get out of the rut. Get up on the highway. That's what he's telling us here. Here's the point here. Smooth travels in life belong to the upright versus what the world preaches. Smooth travels in life. You want your life to be smooth, get on God's highway. That's what he tells us. Now, a very important verse, 16:25 is next here. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12 says the very same thing. God must have wanted us to get that, or he wouldn't have put it in there twice. Our thinking, friends, is faulty. Our thinking is unrighteous unless it's under the leadership of the Word and the Holy Spirit. There is a way that seems right to a man, but you know what? The end of it is not good. It's talking about spiritual death and destruction. We need to come to that conclusion that we're not always right about things. And usually our thinking, apart from God's ways, is wrong. And it's going to end bad. Granted, we may never be the richest person, we may never have all the power, whatever, but if we've done it God's way, we've done it the right way. And it'll be a good way. It'll be a good way. But learn this, human thinking is always dead wrong apart from God's ways. It's always dead wrong apart from God's ways. And then as we come down to the conclusion here fairly soon, verse 26, he that laboreth for himself, for his mouth crave it of him. We have a choice to make for our default ways of working for our own satisfaction versus doing it for the glory of God. If you delve into that verse and think about it a little bit, again, we'll take another look at it here. Verse 26, he that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. In other words, if we're working to feed our face, this is what this verse is telling us here, and to do what our cravings are in that respect, we've missed the boat. Because that's not what it's all about. Our labor needs to be directed toward what? Bringing glory to God. Okay? And doing it the right way. It's not about us again. So we have a choice to make from our default ways of thinking for our own satisfaction versus doing it for the glory of God. Verses 27 through 30, we're almost done. Verses 27 through 30, we're almost done. Amen. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. And we're going to go down through 30. A froward or perverse man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise perverse things, froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. Well, my friends, these are some basic traits that I just illustrated there of doing wrong. My question to us this morning is, how many of these do we possess? Do you and I possess this morning? We're not right about things. That's a change that can be affected today. And then verse 31. The hoary head is a crown of glory. I don't think it says in there, if you have a hoary head. Some of us in this room have worn our thinkings out and worn our hair away. Hoary head means a gray hair. And we got a few gray folks here this morning. The hoary head is a crown of glory. And here's a big thing here, this little word we've been talking about a lot lately. If it be found in the ways of, our whole point of our message here today, righteousness. Meaning there are some people that can be, Marilyn, I don't want to pick on you because you're now over 93. But there's some people that could be 94 and still don't get it right. And you will not have a crown of righteousness as an old person just because you're old. You'll receive it by, again, having the things of God endued upon your heart and operating in them. It's a crown of righteousness, of glory, if we're found in the way of righteousness. That's a conditional clause there, if. How do you and I mark up this morning with that little word, if? Now, I'm getting to the point in life, my days are numbered. All of our days are numbered here today. But when you start to get to 70, you know that's the average age of a person. Some of us are over that. That's God's grace. Some of us are approaching it. Others are younger. But know this, it's time today to get these things figured out. Yeah. Bottom line, yep. That's what Psalm 90 will tell you if you look at that. So here it is, folks. Age brings blessings if. The older we become, the more we should think about this. If we do it God's way. If we do it God's way. You won't be blessed just because you get old, but you will if you do it God's way. And then the last two verses, verse 32, and then we'll look at 33. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Again, we're talking this morning about righteous behaviors, doing it right. Anger is the catalyst for Satan's devices to be established. Pastor John, watch yourself. Thank you, Miss Kim. You tell me that often. Anger. Whatever you're angry about today, by the way, the Bible says anger is a short-term sin. It says not to let your wrath, not to let the sun go down upon your wrath. I'll get it said right here, folks. Anger is used of Satan to promote unrighteousness, not only in you, but in those that you make a recipient of that. See, folks, when we start to look at ourselves, we need help. And I'm thankful that God is there today. But anger is the catalyst for Satan's devices to be established. In the last verse today, 33, and you can look all this over later. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Folks, you can be under the Lord's will and His authority if we will live for Him. Sure, we're going to make mistakes. Sure, we're going to fall at times. But folks, I'd rather have God superintending over my life when I've done the best I could, and to see His blessings, again, abound, even though it may not translate into the things of the world and so forth, but to know that you've done the right thing and leave the rest of it with God. And so that's my last question, and it's a question for the day. Are we under God's control or not today, my friends? Because if we are, no matter what happens, He's watching over the whole thing. The disposing of it is of the Lord. But if we've messed around with it and we tried to do it our way, folks, we put ourselves on very shaky ground. Today's the day to run to Jesus. Here's the conclusion. We can make a difference by doing it right. Do you believe that this morning? You want to see things change in our world? It's not going to be who you vote for that's going to change it. It's going to be what you do and how you interact with others. And when people begin to want to do the right things, you'll see things change in America. You'll see them change around the whole world because it's all the same. But if people want to continue in their corrupt ways, folks, I'll tell you where we're headed. Down. And it's going to get worse. Much worse. The thing is today, folks, repent. If you're on the wrong track this morning, turn around. If you're doing the wrong things, start doing them right. Go to the righteous one, the Lord. He'll help you. And what about our personal commitment to Jesus and response to His offer of salvation? If there be anyone here today that has not placed their sins under the blood of Christ, it's not by doing anything, it's by receiving the gift. Folks, that's the right thing to do. That's what God wants. It's a whole message of this age. It's to get saved. To be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's the message, the whole thing. We can't be righteous on our own, but God can impute His righteousness through His Son and His blood that covers our sins to our lives, if you'll receive it today. Last word, doing it right is never wrong. I'm done yakking. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand if you're able. Number 549. 549. We're going to sing the first verse of this hymn, but folks, today, if the Word of God has had an impact on your life today, maybe there's a need for a change in your life today. Maybe you need to understand and to receive and to say, you know, Lord, I'm on the wrong direction. I'm on the wrong path. I want to get on Your highway today. You know, I want to see the blessings, again, of living for You. Or maybe today someone could be here that has never trusted Christ as their Savior. I want to tell you something, folks. Apart from what Jesus did for us, we can do nothing for ourselves. But God is willing to give these things to us. He's willing to give us salvation because He loves us that much. Today, you can be saved. You can be born again in Christ by believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by trusting Him. I'm telling you, folks, He's the only legit deal that's offered. He's the only one. Call on Him today. If you need help, I can sure talk to you and show you from the Scriptures. But Jesus is available today. Won't you go to Him today, later, rather than later? Let's sing the first verse. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today, Jesus is calling, he's tenderly calling today. Answer that call today. Have a great day in the Lord. I'm going to ask Lonnie to dismiss us in prayer, please.